Welcome to our service this morning. As you can see from the intimations, Robert Allen is ill and we wish him a speedy recovery. So at short notice, the worship team have brought this service together with the help of Brian Kerr from Lanark. I would like to highlight some of the intimations. There'll be a bank hall service next Sunday. The pancake night on Tuesday night was very successful, and as you can see, £266.10 was raised for church funds. Well done, everyone. Jingle jars. Throughout March, you're encouraged to save all your spare coins in empty jam jars. There's labels at the back of the church that you can attach to these jars throughout March. Children's ministry. There's a box at the back of the church for any donations for this work. The Guild on the 9th of March, and the speaker will be Reverend David Scott. So that, I think there's still the sign-up sheet at the back if you're going to be able to go to that. Count Your Blessings 2020. That's Christian Aid's Reflections Over Lent. You're welcome to take a copy. It's a good source to read over and to reflect during Lent. Welcome to our service today. Christ crucified and risen. For most of us, this is a summary of what the gospel message is all about. And yet, of course, all that finally derives its meaning from what went before, the words and actions of Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. It was these that inspired the apostles to leave all and follow him. These that drew the crowds in such numbers to see for themselves, and these which first led people to believe there was God, come to the world through his promised Messiah. So today we focus not on the birth of Jesus, nor on his death and resurrection, but upon his life. And we ask ourselves what some of those touched by his ministry might have said to us. Could we have been there to hear firsthand of their experiences? Imagine yourself beside them. Imagine yourselves in their shoes. For the Christ who touched their lives has power to touch ours today. Let us worship God by singing the first hymn, number 458, At the Name of Jesus. 458, At the Name of Jesus.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue.
Let us pray. God of glory, your light fills the world. Your truth guides your people. Your love shelters and supports us all. May your light shine on us now. Your truth inspire our words. And your love reach out through our service to others, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God of goodness, the truth of your love remains constant. Our lives have been untrue to you, to others and ourselves. Our thoughts, words and deeds have lacked faith, hope and love. And we are troubled by the memory of things left unsaid and undone. God of grace, ready and waiting to forgive and restore, may your spirit of love in Christ, crucified and risen, so fill us with light and hope. That our lives may be lived to your praise and glory through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll now hand over to Karen, who's going to tell us about the work of the Easter Code.
Well, recently, Elspeth and I were asked to do a taster session and a wee sample of the Easter Code to the Presbytery at Lanark at Greyfriars Church to try and encourage some of the ministers there to do the Easter Code with some of their schools in the Presbytery area. So we set up the Easter Code is to teach the kids about it's usually the last week of Jesus' life leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection, to explain in a fun way all the events that happened. So what we did was set up these garden gazebos in the hall, and each of them is a different area. So like the church is an area, and we tell the story of when Jesus overturned the tables. So they get a wee 5-minute talk just about the story, and we hide for the wee ones 30 silver coins in amongst the pews, and for the older age group we hide the disciples' names. So they only have about 5 minutes to find them, but they absolutely love it. And it's like teaching them that the church, you can have fun in the church as well. It's not just about coming and sitting in silence. They can have fun. And then in the hall, we have the gazebos. So the first one is the upper room. And that's about the foot where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So they get the opportunity to get their feet washed. The next area is the Garden of Gethsemane, which is in the stage. And that's made up like a night garden. So this is to represent the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's all about prayer, where Jesus went to pray. And it's about being still and listening for God. So we have a birdsong music and a wee night light with stars that move about. So we encourage them to have a cushion and lie on the floor and watch for the shooting star and just be calm and to explain about prayer. Then the courtyard is the next area, and that's where Peter denies Jesus. We've got a wee campfire and chairs around it. And just for a wee bit of fun, we have marshmallows and chocolate. So while they're getting told the story of Peter denying Jesus, they get a wee bit chocolate. They love that. Then we have an art tent. In the art tent, they make an Easter card or something, some activity. And they enjoy that as well. But each class comes with a teacher, and we split them into four groups. So they go around the four areas. We had five there, I was explaining, but some years we mix it up so that it's not the same every single year. You want to change it a wee bit. They're all given a clipboard, and we have a questionnaire. So in each area they have four questions to answer so that they're listening to the story. And they have code words where it's usually scripture, and they have to work out what it says. And then we have colouring sheets, and we also have a writing task, and it's usually the Lord's Prayer to try and help the wee ones with their writing skills. So it is about learning as well as fun. And the teachers say this ticks a big box for them, which is really great. We're helping the school, and the school's helping us as a church. So after we do the four areas in the big hall, we go through to the small hall, and we have the table set for the Last Supper. And they get a wee song and a wee film there, but they have these wee plastic shot glasses and for the bread and the wine. And of course, some of the wee ones are they're no keen on taking the wine because they think it has blood. And I've got to explain, no, it's just juice. So we have the Last Supper, and then we have a lot of volunteers come to help, and they make fresh pancakes, and they absolutely love that. So they all get their fresh pancakes and juice, and have an opportunity to do some of their quizzes. So after we've done that, we come back through to the big hall, and at the bottom end of the hall we have the three crosses, which Anne kindly lends us, the three crosses for the church for the Easter story. And we have the cave built in the far corner with the big stone to roll away. And so we go back through there, and they all just sit in the rug, and they get the two parts to that story. And then we finish usually with a song with actions, and it's usually an Easter song or something about love, but they're great at that. So from that came the idea for a do it with adults. So when the adults come, they get the very same script, and we go through all the areas the same as the children do, but instead we don't do art and stuff like that, but it's just sitting listening to a song. So like the upper room is the servant's song. That's a hymn. I don't know if that's the right name yet though, but it's the servant's song about being a servant. Jesus was washing the feet. The Garden of Gethsemane is the Lord's Prayer by Andrew Bocelli. So we just sit and listen to the music, but go around the different areas. And that's actually where the idea for the Christmas glow came from, was because I'd done it with Easter code. So that's really how it works. So if any of you are interested in coming to Easter code, you're more than welcome. It's usually on at night time. And if you just let me know, we can arrange for whatever night suits folk. I can date two or three nights depending on what response we get. But that's really what it is. And the Christmas glow is the same thing. It's just sitting listening to music. You don't need to sing. You don't need to do anything. It's just enjoying the music. And it can be quite powerful. So that's Easter code. So we've got a wee film just to show you what the kids got up to. And enjoy it. Thanks.
From a distance, the world's blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes
First reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. We now begin our journey thinking about those who were with Jesus as he walked our earth, as he shared their lives. We read these words from the Bible. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now we will reflect on these words. He had time for me. He had time for me. Incredible, I know, but true. He saw beneath the surface, beneath the greed, the selfishness and the corruption, and uncovered a person I didn't even know existed. I groaned when I saw him coming. I won't pretend otherwise. Another self-righteous prick coming to tell me my business. That's what I imagined. And I'd had my fair share of those. Well, nobody likes a tax collector, do they? But I'd always given as good as I got. I mean, it's not easy when you've a wife and kids at home to feed. We all have to earn a living somehow. And since the only people ready to give me a chance were the Romans, what could I do? Or did any of them really imagine I enjoyed working for them? Anyway, someone had to do it, didn't they? So why not me? I suppose Jesus understood that. For he didn't criticise or condemn, none of the two-faced hypocrisy of the Pharisees, none of the usual accusing glances or obscene gestures, just those two lovely words, "Follow me." You could have knocked me over. It was the last thing I expected. Took the wind right out of my sails. And more than that, I was excited, moved, fascinated, because he had time for me. He hadn't written me off. He hadn't seen only the outside. He accepted me as I was, with all my sons sticking to me. And the funny thing was, once he did that, it was me who pointed to my faults, not him. I felt ashamed, painfully aware of all that was wrong, longing to be different, yet at the same time set free, forgiven, offered a new beginning. I followed, of course. What else could I do? Would you refuse a man like that? Well, perhaps you would, but I'm glad I didn't. Because despite everything since, the times I've let him down, the occasions I've misunderstood, the mistakes I've made, the faults I still have, he goes on accepting me day after day, not for what I might become, but for what I am.
We will now join together in song once again and sing our second hymn, number 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Hymn 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Our second reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 40 to 45. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling he said to him, If you choose, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that they say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. We'll now reflect on this reading. He touched me. He touched me. That was all. No magic spells, no wonder potions, no hype. Just that one little action, so simple, so special. First time I've been touched in as long as I can remember. The first time someone has looked at me with love rather than revulsion in their eyes. At the moment I felt his hand upon me, I felt clean. It was as though a weight had been lifted from me, a burden of disease, isolation and despair. As though God himself had reached out into my darkness and told me that he cared after all, that even I had a place in his heart. I looked down, my hands could move again. I reached out and they could feel again. And suddenly I was dancing, skipping, laughing, running like a little child, celebrating the joy of life. I am one of the crowd again now, back amongst my own, able to share with my family as in the old days, to walk in the marketplace, worship in the synagogue, as much a part of society as the next man. I don't blame anyone for the way they treated me, for I know that I'd have done the same in their place. We live in fear of leprosy, all of us. We have seen its power, the way it can slowly destroy a person. We have stood by helpless as lives have been turned inside out. Those who were once so beautiful, hideously disfigured, and we all shy away, all keep our distance, all push the problem out of sight. It's cruel, I know, hard for those who suffer, separated from everything and everyone they've ever loved. I know, for I've been there, but that choice is there. We know the score, and I can tell you this, there isn't one of us who would wish that curse on our worst enemy. No, I can't blame anyone for what they did, yet I'll never forget Jesus, the man who saw me as I was, the man who touched me as I was, the man who made me what I am.
Our third hymn is "Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation." It's number 200. "Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation."
Our third reading this morning comes from John chapter 4, reading from verses 1 to 7. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his long journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now we will reflect on this reading. He was full of surprises, that man, from the moment I first met him. I thought he'd just push me aside like all the rest, either that or walk away with his head in the air. He was a Jew, remember, and I a Samaritan, and worse than that, a woman, alone. Yet he stayed where he was, a smile on his face, quite happy, apparently, to be associated with me. Well, call me suspicious if you like, but I wasn't sure what he was up to, so I asked him straight out, "What is your game?" He laughed at that and then offered me a drink of water. At least I thought that's what he was doing, though I wasn't sure. You see, he had no bucket. So he could hardly shin down the well, could he? So where was this water he was on about meant to come from? To be frank, I suspected he was pulling my leg. But I was beginning to like him, despite the nonsense he talked. He had a nice way with him. Kind. Gentle. A bit of all right in an unconventional sort of way. So I played along, wondering where it would all lead. If only I'd known. What an embarrassment I might have saved myself. I'll never know how he guessed. But suddenly, he looked straight at me. And for the first time, I noticed his eyes. They didn't undress you like so many men seem to do, but they looked so much deeper, almost as if into my very soul. And then he started talking about my lovers, my husbands, my past. Every detail correct. It was uncanny, frightening, far too near the knuckle. So I tried to fob him off with some old chestnut about worship. But then he threw me. None of the usual pat answers, but a response that reached right to the heart of the matter, cutting through all the trivia. And it was after that he produced the biggest surprise of all. Told me he was the Messiah. I didn't know what to say. I just stood there gawping, flabbergasted. I mean, I realised he was a prophet, but the Messiah? It couldn't be, I told myself. No way. I went back down to the village seeking reassurance, wanting someone to tell me he was just another religious nutcase, but they didn't. They were curious. They wanted to see for themselves. And when they heard him, listened to his teaching, they believed he was a Messiah. Me? I still don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. Not if I'm honest. Nothing would surprise me about him.
Our fourth reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now we will reflect on this reading. I could have brained those children, rushing around like that with their yelling and shrieking, shattering our peace and quiet. We'd had them alone at last, just us and Jesus. A rare opportunity to sit and listen undisturbed, drinking in his every word, and it was wonderful,
a truly magical moment until, that is, they turned up. Those wretched kids ushered forward by their doting parents just so that he could touch them. Really, how ridiculous. Superstition, that's all it was. No real faith behind any of it. Just sentimental rubbish. Nauseating. So we tried to stop them. You can understand that, surely. We wanted to get back to the business in hand before we were so rudely interrupted. Back to those more serious matters. Okay, so maybe we were a bit over the top, a touch more heavy than the situation demanded, but we were angry, disappointed. I mean, could you have concentrated with that row going on? I couldn't. Yet, did they care? Not likely. We fully expected Jesus to back us up, send the lot of them packing, but can you believe this? He didn't. He actually turned on us, and there was anger in his eyes, anger touched almost with pity. Leave them alone, he said. Let them come to me. What's your problem? Well, we didn't know what to say, did we? It caught us right on the hop. So we just fidgeted uncomfortably, trying to cover our embarrassment. It was so unfair. We'd meant no harm, after all. Certainly hadn't meant to upset anybody. Yet, there they were now. The kids bawling their eyes out, the mums looking daggers at us, the dads having a go at everyone. What a mess. I honestly didn't know what to do next. But thankfully, Jesus came to the rescue as always. He reached out and took the children in his arms, one by one, a great loving hug. And then he lifted them up for all to see. These are special, he told us, more precious than you will ever know, each one treasured by God. And you could tell from the way he smiled at them, the way they smiled back at him, that he meant every single word he was saying, and they knew what he meant. I still feel a bit aggravated by it all. Well, you can tell that, can't you? But I realise now we made ourselves look rather silly that day, even childish, you might say, and I'm beginning to understand Jesus has no room for the childish, only the childlike.
We sing once again from hymn number 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Hymn 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
Our offering for the work of God here in this place will now be uplifted. Let us pray. Compassionate and tender God, Father and Mother of us all, we thank you for all the blessings that you pour out upon your family and for all that we receive as your sons and your daughters. Bless these offerings that we now give to you. Use them in the work of building up your church and doing the work of your kingdom in our world. Loving God, we give thanks for your goodness to us, known and unknown, for the world and its beauty and mystery, for our lives and their promise and past, for our loved ones and friends whose company means so much to us. Above all, we give thanks for Christ Jesus, for his love for the outcast and stranger, for his care for those in trouble in body or mind, for his death on the cross and his resurrection, for the gift of his Holy Spirit. May we continue to show our gratitude in the way we live and give glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed and glorious forever and ever. Holy God, we pray for the church in this land and for all her parishes and congregations, that we may be strengthened in our knowledge and understanding of your truth by our words and deeds. May we continue to proclaim your love with joy and generosity of spirit, that the world may be led to know you. We pray for the world, for peace where there is strife, for comfort where there is suffering, and unity where there is discord. Strengthened by your spirit, all who work for the good of others through education, relief agencies, and governments. We pray for our country, our Queen and her government, for those in authority and those with influence, that working for the common good, they may serve us with wisdom, integrity, and compassion. We pray for those who sorrow, those who are in trouble, for those who suffer cruelty, injustice, or neglect in their weaknesses. May they share your strength and in despair find hope. We pray for Robert and his family, wishing him a speedy recovery. In you, Father, we are one family in earth and heaven. We remember in your presence those who have died and give thanks for those who revealed to us your grace in Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to the fullness of your kingdom of love and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We close our service here and begin our service in the world outside as we sing our closing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's hymn 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Amen.
may we go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.